Rebound is loose, then ripped out of there by Lankus for Rollins County. 2 seconds to play. Gill strips it away, and that's the ball game. For the second straight season, the Osborne Lady Bulldogs are headed to the 1A Division I state tournament. Osborne winning over Rollins County 68-56 here in our sub-state championship game. The Lady Dogs are headed to state for the 12th time in school history. 5 seconds to play, 46-41 the score. If you're Osborne, just stay away. Don't foul. Grady's second free throw rattles around and out. Rebound goes to Ross Hudson. 4 seconds to play. Hudson across half court. He's one from just ahead of half court. It misses. And the Osborne Bulldogs are going to the state tournament. They head to the 1A Division I state tournament next week in Dodge City. They are the sub-state champions in Sylvan Grove with a 46-41 win in double overtime over the Lakeside Knights.
So the Osborne girls and boys punched their tickets to the state basketball tournaments, and also Smith Center Lady Red did as well, and St. John's Tipton Lady Blue Jays cruised to their sub-state and into a state tournament berth on top of it all. So four teams will be at state that we'll cover coming up on Wednesday and Thursday, three girls teams and one boys team. And let's hear from head coach Trina Luter's Osborne Lady Bulldogs on making it to state.
We couldn't be more proud of the girls. They were so focused, and we knew that we're going to have to come in and take care of business. And, you know, the emotions are just so amazing because this is my third year with them, and for 3 years we've been asking them just to buy in, see the big picture, take care of your piece of the puzzle. And I think tonight we saw that when we have a different score stepping up all the time, and we're moving the ball well. And that is just huge when you have a team that sees the floor and shares the ball. And amazing. Amazing ride. We came into the season saying we had some unfinished business because the way with COVID and the way that the state tournament was set up last year, we didn't get to go to Dodge. That was our goal, and we said we're going to Dodge City.
So the Osborne girls are going to Dodge City. The Osborne boys will join them down there as well as an exciting double overtime thriller, Battle of Osborne County, and Osborne prevailed in double overtime. Jamie Walters on the win and moving on to state. Wasn't easy.
Proud of our kids. We, you know, there were, I thought, about five or six times where I thought we were in trouble, and they gutted it out, you know, when we needed it. We got that ball inside. We were able to convert down there, and just proud of our kids. They really gutted that out, and like I say, we didn't play great, but they had a lot to do with that. Hats off to them.
All right, so four teams going to state. We'll have coverage beginning on Wednesday and also on Thursday, hopefully Friday and Saturday. It's all posted at nckssports.com, and we'll begin there with Dusty. He was down at Sylvan Grove for the Osborne girls and boys making it to state. Let's start with the double overtime thriller, because I was listening to the coverage with you and the broadcast, and it was going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and it was just, you know, you're sitting here going, man, it's going to stink for whoever loses. It's going to stink. And, you know, Osborne's had Lakeside's number for so many years. And then, of course, Lakeside was able to beat them here recently, so they broke that long losing streak, and it looked like maybe they could punch their ticket to state for the second time in school history, but to no avail. And, I mean, Osborne, I mean, they made the free throws, that's for sure, there in that second overtime. They made clutch free throws and ended up winning the game. And the margin of error between making it state and not making it state is very, very thin, and Osborne's going to state again for now. How many times now for Osborne
this
boys?
This is 13, because I can't count. I said 14 on Saturday. Okay. It's actually the 13th time that Osborne's made it to state on the boys' side. It is 12 for the girls. I did have that one right, so but it's the 13th time. Jamie was asking me last night. I was like, I better double check, and I was one off. But it's 13th for the Osborne boys.
All right. Well, what about that boys' game, double overtime?
It was exciting. At the first part of the game, you could tell both teams were a little jittery, right? Mm-hmm. They were trying to just kind of work out the kinks early on. So it was kind of a low-scoring game early, and it was 10-5 after one quarter. And I think everybody was just trying to feel themselves out in the game. Osborne had a five-point lead after one and then led 14-7 at one point in the second quarter. And then Lakeside went on an 8-0 run to take a 15-14 halftime lead. And from there, it was game on, right? It was close the whole way, the rest of the way. Osborne had a 31-28 lead late. Kylan Cunningham hit a three with a 1:09 left to tie it at 31. They're in regulation, and you know, Lakeside got the ball back with about 50 seconds left after Osborne had missed an opportunity and elected to hold for the final shot and did a nice job of keeping the ball until about 5 seconds. Kind of tried to drive in the lane and got called for a travel and ended up giving it back to Osborne there. Johnny Hamill had a half-court shot that missed at the end of regulation there, and it's much similar at the end of overtime. You know, Lakeside got a two-point lead twice, and then Doak Guttery made two big layups for Osmond to tie it both times at 35 in the end there, and Lakeside again had about 45, 50 seconds with the basketball and decided to hold for the final shot, and didn't get a great look, but Tyler Schoen actually had a chance there at the buzzer, just missed, and went into the second overtime, and like you said, that's when Osmond kind of made their hay and took over and took advantage of, you know, Lakeside trying to foul because they're trying to play from behind, and Osmond 9 of 12 from the free throw line in that second overtime, and that's how you can seal wins, and that's how you win games. We saw it the night before in the girls' game between Sylvan Lucas and Rollins County, where Sylvan Lucas girls missed 10 free throws in the fourth quarter and lost by 4. So you can see and understand how important those are, and Osmond was able to seal the deal at the free throw line. They won 46-41 there in the double overtime. So 21-2 on the season, and again, their 13th state tournament appearance. Hamill had 16, and Ronnie Thompson had 14. Johnny and Ronnie mix me up sometimes. Johnny was 16, Ronnie with 14. And there are co-athletes of the game there. And again, Osmond gets that win. Tyler Schoen had a career-high 25, but a tough way to end your career there for Tyler. And Cooper Brown, Kylan Cunningham, Peyton Ellis, Jay Schoen, Preston Schweitzer, six seniors that had outstanding careers for Lakeside as they finished their year at 17-6. So an outstanding finish to the season for both of these teams here, and an outstanding sub-state championship that goes to Osmond in double overtime.
All right, so Osmond boys move on to state. Then after that, the Osmond girls had their opportunity.
Yeah, and the girls got down early in this one, 12-6, but after that, they went on a 15-2 run and took a 21-14 lead after the first quarter, and that was pretty much it for Rollins County. They would get within four again on a three-pointer by Tate and Dewey early in the second quarter, but you know, it was a game where Osmond really just took over there to put another 9-0 run together in the second quarter, and by halftime, after a three from Gracie Reiner at the buzzer, they were leading 46-30, a very high-scoring first half for the Lady Dogs. Pace slowed down a little bit in the second half. They were able to pick up the 12-point win, 68-56. Ava Stoll had 15 points in the first half, finished with 17, and actually had 17 in the first about 30 seconds of the third quarter. So tied her career high with 17 there. Trinity Luters led the way with 19 for Osborne, and Reiner finished with 12. 10 points off the bench for Grace William. The freshman's really been playing well lately off the bench for the Lady Dogs. And so, again, a nice finish there for Osborne. A 68-56 win. They're 22-1, and again, second straight year they made it to state, and their 12th state tournament appearance overall for the Osmond Lady Dogs. As they again head to state coming up on Thursday, they'll take on Pretty Prairie, and again, the Osmond boys on Wednesday are going to play Maxville in the first round of the 1A Division I state tournament.
And the girls will actually get to know what state actually feels like by
exactly.
Going to Dodge City instead of going all the way to Jetmore for a first round game, which was too bad last year, and it was a quick turnaround after they had quenched their spot, so I'm glad they were able to make it back.
The tough part of that is Jetmore's like 45 minutes from Dodge City. Like, you're almost there, right?
Yeah, but better to be on a neutral floor in Dodge City.
I know. It's like, if I'm going there, it's like, let's just go to Dodge and play
Dodge. yeah, that's true. That's true. St. John's Tipton Lady Blue Jay girls, they go to state for the sixth time in the school program history as they make it back-to-back years, and they cruise through their sub-state. You know, St. John's Tipton girls were the only team with a winning record in their sub-state, and they absolutely proved that they were the best and only good team that was at that sub-state. Yeah. I mean, there's no other way to sugarcoat it. You win by 36 in the semis, and you win by 35 in the sub-state finals, and the team you play in the final scores 21. It's clear that St. John's Tipton was head and shoulders above everybody when that sub-state started, and on top of that, they didn't have to travel. They got to stay in Beloit.
Yeah.
They played at Beloit High School, of course. But to their credit, you know, you can only play where you're assigned to play, and you can only play who you're supposed to play, and that's what St. John's Tipton did, and they took care of business, and that's what you're supposed to do. So they did all the things they needed to do, and they will move on to state, and congratulations to them. They're 17-6 on the year. Now the bad news. You're going to have to play Central Plains, the worst possible team I think you could have drawn in that one.
Yeah.
Because Golden Plains is not nearly as good as Central Plains, in my opinion, and they barely won, but they're undefeated. Central Plains is 22-1, and their only loss was to Sterling, the number one team in the state in 2A, who is undefeated. So it's going to be a tall, tall task, but still, to get there, make it to state. And I remember last year, you know, St. John's Tipton, they did actually get to go to the state tournament, but only because they won their first round game at Beloit High School against Wetmore. Had they not won that, they would have never had a chance to go to the state tournament there in Great Bend. And so they were able to, but they didn't get to play a third-place game.
Played the one game in Great Bend, and you go home.
So. One-day experience. So for them, hopefully, they could pull off the upset and make it a longer experience this year. But pretty impressive to go to state for back-to-back years for the St. John's Tipton Lady Blue Jays. And we'll have coverage of them at Great Bend coming up on Thursday against Central Plains. Anything else you want to add on the Blue Jays?
No, it's just same things that you said. Just they took care of the business they needed to take care of, and now you see if you can go pull off the upset at state.
That's all you can ask for. Smithsonian Lady Red, they survived a scare in the substate semifinals against Hoxie, down 9 in the third quarter, down by 3 going in the fourth. Ended up winning, ended up being their most difficult game of substate as they took care of St. Francis by 20 on Saturday, 58-38. So Smith Center, it's hard to believe. You know, they're so good in volleyball, and we know they're pretty solid in basketball for years, but it's the first time Smith Center is going to the state basketball tournament since 2013, 9 years ago, and that was when they won it all the last time they're there. In fact, they've been very successful at state. This is their sixth state tournament appearance, and they've been runner-up 3 times and state champion 1 time, and the one time they lost in the first round, they lost by 2. So, yep. And Nick Lynn, it was his birthday.
Yeah.
And so what a nice birthday gift his girls give to
it's
him.
It's like nice that you came out and won this game by 20 for me, so I didn't have to sweat it, right?
I can. He was
thank
probably,
you.
Maybe early in the fourth, Nick Lynn was thinking about birthday cake. I don't know.
I know the way he is, and he didn't want to be sweating things on his birthday.
What coach does.
He gets nervous about a lot of stuff, even when his teams are really, really good. It's just like, I'm so nervous, he's always telling me.
Yeah. Well, the Smithsonian Lady Red, they move on, and they get, a very good draw. Because people look at records, and you can't get caught up in records too badly when it comes to state. Jackson Heights is 22-1. Smith Center is 19-4. But Smith Center has played the much more difficult schedule. Talked to a friend of mine. He said, listen, up in Northeast Kansas, he said, Jackson Heights, they're not as good as their record indicates. They haven't played a very tough schedule. And so Smith Center, I think, has a good opportunity in round one. And then the other thing is Colgan's on their side of the bracket. They're undefeated. But the top half of the bracket, I think, might be the two best teams. It might be three best teams. And I'm not trying to knock Smith Center. But you've got Sterling undefeated, okay, who beat Central Plains this year. And they've beaten Southeast. They've beaten ranked teams. Sterling's beaten Breen Academy early in the year. Breen Academy's a 4 seed. Sterling's a 1 seed top of the bracket. Breen Academy's got 1 loss, I believe it is, and that's to Sterling. And oddly enough, the same Central Plains and Breen Academy's losses are to Sterling. Southeast Saline has 3 losses. They made state. One of their losses is to Sterling. Sterling's played a pretty good schedule, is my point. And Valley Heights plays in a very difficult TVL. They're the 5 seed at 21-2, and they lost on a last-second shot in the semis last year. They would have been in the championship game, and they have a lot of starters back. So the top half of the bracket, I think, looks like murder. And the bottom half, honestly, and maybe Colgan is all that because Colgan made it to the finals last year. But I think Smith Center got the better side of the draw for them to make a bit of a run in this tournament. So I think Jackson Heights couldn't have got a better matchup for the first round. And I know people may go, oh, why is that? Jackson Heights 22-1. Yeah, but we see this before. We talk about every year that teams from tough leagues really, really benefit by playing tough schedules. And teams that play in really weak leagues usually are done quickly at state.
Yeah. And you would know more about those teams at 2A than I would as far as their schedules and who they're playing, because I cover mostly 1A teams. But some of these brackets are insane. I mean, Osborne's the 4 seed with 1 loss. They're playing a 5 seed with 1 loss.
Right. They're both 22-1.
And so, you know, that 1A thing in Dodge City Division I, both boys and girls, I mean, you get 4 or 5 seats have 2 losses on the boys' side, so... You know, some of the brackets are just ridiculous, but it is about who's, you know, what the schedule's been like for your team throughout the year, and you hope that you played enough tough games to prepare you to get you into this point. Smith Center, by the way, has played a tough enough schedule to prepare them to get to this point.
That's
too,
what I'm
exactly.
saying.
Yeah.
They lost to TMP 2 close games. They were ranked. They beat Phillipsburg by 1. Phillipsburg was in the substate finals. They were ranked. And there's another ranked team that they played, and I'm going blank right now. That they lost to, for crying out loud. It was, I don't know why I can't think of it right now. But anyway, the point is that all their losses to Kansas schools are against ranked teams for Smith Center. So, and they lost a very good Superior Nebraska team too. So, sometimes we get caught up in the records a little bit. And the seeding, I think, is what people really get
caught up in, not necessarily
the record, it's the seeding. Oh, there's a huge upset. No, it's not a huge upset. It really isn't if you look at it closely and know what you're talking about. let me go here and pull up the brackets. And by the way, the Bullet Girls ended their season on Friday night. We haven't had a chance to talk about that. They ended their season 10-12, a 7-win improvement. They lost to Southeast. They're up 1 at halftime, but then just could not buy a bucket in the second half. 10 points in the second half, and they lost by 13. Southeastern girls and boys are both going to state. Southeast beat Riley County by 7, and Southeastern boys blew out Council Grove in the second half, just wore them down, and won by 23. And so we look at the brackets. Let's start in 1A Division 2 on the girls' side, where it will be Golden Plains, the 1 seed, against Buckland, who's 11-12, who made state, has an 8 seed with a losing record. South Haven, 20-3, against Hutch Central Christian, 20-3 is the 4-5 matchup. Central Plains, 22-1, the 2 seed, taking on St. John's Tipton, 17-6, the 7 seed. Lebo is the 3 seed at 22-1. They'll take on Hanover, who's 19-4. That's a very interesting matchup. Man, that's a good game right there. A boys bracket, 1A Division 2. We don't have any area teams in there, but Hanover takes on Central Plains. Okay, well, I can just go there one by one. So the rest of the bracket, Buckland 18-5 against Caldwell 16-6. Greeley County 21-2. Pawnee Heights made state at 12-10. Northern Valley 21-2 takes on Waverly, who also had 10 losses. They went 13-10. So three boys teams in 1A Division 2 state that have double-digit losses, and one that has one of the worst records you'll ever see that makes state, the Central Plains boys at 4-18. Before I move on to the other brackets, I cannot resist. So Central Plains Oilers, their school Twitter page, I don't know if the coach put it on there, the AD, the principal, I don't know. And so we had talked about it last week. Central Plains had a good chance of winning their sub-state. There wasn't a single team with a winning record. Lost Spring Center was 8-10. Wilson was 4-14. They got a bye. That's how bad that sub-state was. Tescott was the 3 seed with 3 wins. Central Plains rolled Tescott, rolled Wilson, won somewhat comfortably against Lost Spring Center in the championship game on Saturday. I think it was like 12 that they won by. So Central Plains boys are going to state. They're 4-18. They didn't have to play a winning team at sub-state. And listen, you talk about the ultimate spin. I mean, folks, this is where people put out misinformation that tries to bolster something that they might be a little embarrassed by. Okay? So Oiler Nation is
trying to validate they're getting a lot of flack right now because of their record.
And quite honestly, they shouldn't catch the flack. It's Keisha who should get the flack. Yeah. You know, and I said that on my tweets and responses. But I'm going to go through this little back and forth here. So Oiler Nation tweet said, and I quote, "Oiler boys with a 4-18 record are going to state. They've defeated every 1A Division 2 team they've played this year. 4A, 3A, 2A, and 1A Division 1 have made up their schedule." That was the end of the tweet. I saw a few responses of people that had no clue what was going on, going, "Wow, that's so impressive, blah, blah, blah." So I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. So I put it out there because I think the truth needs to come out. And I think nowadays in the world today, we don't seem to give a crap about truth. Very weak sub-state, which isn't your fault, as I put, and you played by the rules. You beat a 3-win team in the first round, a 4-win team in the sub-state semis. You beat the number one seed, who was 8-10 to start sub-state. A 1-18 team should probably have to beat at least one team with a winning record to make it to state, was my quote. Let me repeat the last part, because that's what I feel strongly about, and I don't think there's anybody in the world that would disagree with me if they unless their team won. A 1-18 team, don't you think, ladies and gentlemen? I'm not even asking for them to beat two winning teams. I'm saying just beat one team with a winning record to make it to state. You're 1-18. You should have to beat at least one winning team. But no, didn't happen. So this kid guy, Jacob, who doesn't apparently understand what's going on, says, "I mean," he responds to me, "I mean, they've beaten every Division II school they played this year. Guess they should water their schedule. Tough to schedule schools your size when they won't play your girls' team that's won 8 straight titles and 225-5 over that span with a 50-plus point margin of victory." All right, Jacob, your watered-down part of the schedule was sub-state, so congratulations, you got that part. Secondly, Jacob, you beat every Division II school. Well, lottie freaking daw. Secondly, if you want to sit here and tell me that your schedule was so tough, your Central Plains boys just lost to Kinsley on February 18th. Kinsley, 3-17, and you lost to them. So don't tell me how awesome and unbelievable and unbreakable schedule you've got, and you play these unbelievable higher class teams every single week. You lost to a 1-8. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's a 1-8 Division 1 team. They're 3-17. You lost to them by 3 2 weeks ago. Don't sit here and tell me you're playing the TMPs and the Wichita Collegiates and the Pittsburgh Colgans and the Sterlings and the Bishop Miejas of the world. You're not. All right? You're not. I get it. There are teams that don't want to play Central Plains girls. I get that. That's got nothing to do with the Central Plains boys losing to a 3-17 team. And by the way, that 3-17 team, they were in a sub-state too, right? They were the sixth seed as well. And you know how many winning teams were in their sub-state? Three! And they lost to the winning team right off the bat in the first round.
The first round, I'm guessing.
So you don't think... So what I'm trying to say here is Kinsley's in the wrong sub-state. If Kinsley was in Central Plains sub-state, they would be in, and then Central Plains would be like, well, they don't deserve to be in. They barely beat us by three. They're not that good. Listen, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig, people. Okay? You can. So... Don't sit. You're trying to validate what you did. You have nothing to apologize for. Central Plains, boys, you have nothing to apologize for. This is not your fault, all right? It is not your fault. And you, quite honestly, shouldn't be criticized for winning three games at your sub-state. And I'm not criticizing that they won three games at our sub-state. I'm simply pointing out you didn't beat anybody. You're 1-18 and had a pass to state. I mean, nobody that's 1-18, nobody with a losing record should have a free pass to state. But that's virtually what Central Plains boys had. That sub-state was so god-atrociously awful that they were going to state before it even came out. We knew it. You and me knew it. Now, Central Plains does play a tougher schedule than boys do, and that benefited them.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, they didn't have to play the greatest schedule in the world to beat those three teams.
No.
I mean, come on, people. This is embarrassing, and it can be easily avoided. So the problem is not Central Plains boys, and they should not be... They should not be made fun of because they made state. They simply went where they were assigned to play. And that's on Keisha, the Kansas State High School Athletic Association. There are proposals out there. There are ideas that are out there. And it's time to step up. It's time to avoid. This is the poster child, as I said last week, the poster child of what's wrong with sub-state basketball. You cannot tell me that this is a joke. And you can sit here and go, well, if Central Plains beats Hanover in the first round, I don't care. You're 4-18. You shouldn't be in the state tournament. You shouldn't be in the state tournament, but you are because you played by the rules. You were assigned to a sub-state, and you got to play on your home floor on top of that in the semis and finals. Is there ever been a 1-18 team that's ever had anything else handed to them? I mean, three easy games, PUD sub-state, watered-down sub-state, and you get to play at home? Well, dear Lord, what did you pay to get that? I'm joking. Central Plains played by the rules. It's not their fault that Keisha chose them as the site to host sub-state. It's not their fault that it is their fault they're 1-18. They could have won more games. That's on them. And yeah, their schedule might have been tougher. So be it. But they're 1-18, and you had to play a 3-win team, a 4-win team, and a 9-win team, with everybody with a losing record, to go to state. And I say 9-win because Les Springs Center got first-round bye. Mm-hmm. A losing team had a first-round bye. A team with 4 wins in your sub-state had a bye.
A team that had 2 games this year, one where they scored 9 points and one where they scored 8 points that they put in the second round, like total.
Wilson was a 2 seed and scored 8 and 9 points in 2 games this year. Is what you're saying.
And one of them was in the last part of the season against Thunder Ridge. They got beat. I think it was 58-8.
So, once again, Central Plains.
That's not that. By the way, that's not an indictment on Thunder Ridge. It's an indictment on Wilson.
Right. So my point to the whole story is this. Central Plains boys. Just, you know, celebrate you made it. That's cool. But don't sit here and try to sell me a bunch of rotten goods. You know, when your official Twitter account puts out 4-18 record going to state, they've defeated every 1A Division II team they've played this year. 4A, 3A, 2A, and 1A Division I have made up their schedule. Listen, you're trying to validate something that you know is a bunch of hogwash. Like, you know that you should have been in a tough sub-state.
Yeah.
You know you shouldn't have been in this sub-state. You know you shouldn't even hosted such a weak sub-state. I mean, but it is what it is, and it's not your fault. But don't sit here and try to sell me a bunch of baloney, because I can read through that so clear. Listen, anybody with a brain can look at the bracket and figure out that this isn't right. So they're conveniently not showing you the bracket. See, did you notice that the Oiler Nation tweet didn't show the bracket and show them winning the bracket? Didn't show who they played, didn't mention the record of those teams they just beat in sub-state, didn't mention they got to play at home. No, it just sits here bragging up how great their schedule is, and they went 1-18 against it and lost to a 3-17 team 2 weeks ago. So save me that. That's the part I'm going to criticize. There was no need to do that. You're trying to make, like I said, a pig is a pig, and you're putting a whole bunch of lipstick and makeup on it. And guess what? It's still a pig. All right? It's no good. But, I defend Central Plains from this standpoint. I get you want to support your school. I get you want to brag about making it state. But 4-18 is just, honestly, I'm embarrassed by that. If my school made it 4-18, I would be embarrassed. I would be like, first of all, I wouldn't be bragging about it. Now, here's when I would brag about it. If I'm 4-18 and I beat a 12-win team, a 16-win team, and I beat a 20-0 team or something like that, then I'd brag about it. I would brag about it. If I legitimately beat some big-time teams in my sub-state, or at least one, like for crying out loud, they could have played two losing teams and beat a team that was 18-2 in the final. Okay, at least you can brag a little. You didn't beat a team with a winning record in your sub-state. You won every game by a ton of points, and the last one was still by double digits. So let's just talk about what really is the problem here. It's not Central Plains making the state. Well, it is. But Central Plains boys, it's the sub-state they were in. It is the indictment of the system. Keisha's got to fix this. You cannot tell me and take a state tournament seriously when a team with four wins gets in. You cannot tell me to take a state tournament seriously when there's a team that's 4-18 in the state tournament that beat nobody with a winning record. You can't take this seriously when you're in a sub-state that has a whole bunch of losing teams and a team 1-18 wins 3 in 4-day period and wins them easily. This is an indictment of the system. It can be fixed. That's the thing that irritates and ticks me off. This can be fixed. There are people that don't even work in Topeka that have come up with plans that honestly make sense and actually can lessen travel in some cases. There, I found out last night that 1A division coaches, Division 1 and 2, have a plan and even have a bracket laid out that shows who would play what, and they would reseed it. They would seed it by record. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's like, well, it's got to go back to a 1A to do this. No, you don't. You can keep it split. If you really want to keep it split, absolutely, you can still reseed it.
Yeah.
You know, some teams get byes. Well, guess what? You already get byes. I mean, Wilson with four wins got a bye, for crying out loud. Stop it. You reseed it, Wilson doesn't get that bye. All right? You reseed it. Central Plains has got to play the first round against Hanover in the first round of sub-state instead of the first round of state. Or somebody like Hanover.
Somebody in the West that has a
Hodgman
like
or
that,
not. Yeah. Well, Greeley County. There you go. Greeley County. You know, Central Plains should have had to have played Greeley County in the sub-state semifinals. All right? Or at least the sub-state finals. If not, even if you actually had full 18 sub-states.
You played Greeley County
in the first round.
Which would probably. You'd play a team that had 4 or 5 losses with all the buys that would happen.
Now, what I'm saying is, if you go, you have an 18 bracket, they would have played Greeley County. You have an 18 bracket in 1A, you're going to be the 8, and 21-2 team's going to be a 1 probably.
Yeah.
That would, and that's what every other bracket's got to deal with in 2A and 3A, and then 4A, 5A, 6A, 4A, they have 4 team sub-state brackets. We know that because they only have 32 in 4, 5, and 6A. There's 64 in 2A and 3A. And, of course, 1A Division 1 and 2, there's more.
He's like 52 and 51 or
something.
Yeah, something
like
year,
that.
I think.
Right, in that range. They're broken up. So the problem is not with Central Plains boys. I think the tweet is really embarrassing even more so. But anyway, you just added more attention to something that you're bragging about that really isn't that impressive at all. But the reason it's not impressive is because Keisha put you in that situation. So I come back to, this is something that needs to be addressed. This should be every single school in 1A, especially 1A Division 2, and every single coach and administrator, if you want, you know, fairness, and if you want the state tournament to be legitimate, then you need to go and talk to the people that have the power and say, this is enough. This is enough. This is ridiculous. Okay? I haven't even talked about a team that is 12-10 and 13-10 that's also in that state bracket. But at least they have winning records. 4-18 means that you were 1-18 to start sub-state play. So let's fix the system. There's all kinds of proposals. Here's the thing that I've been told by Keisha before, and maybe the thinking has changed over the last few years with different leadership. But I was told straight up on a phone call. In fact, I think I've even recorded on an interview a few years back with then-executive director Gary Musselman. And he said, we do a lot of people get caught up in that we dictate this or that. No, no, no. We leave it up to the member schools. Mm-hmm. We let them vote on this. They let them vote on 1A Division 1 or 2. You might hate 1A Division 1 or 2. I don't like it. But the schools voted on it. That's what they decided. And at one point, they had 4A divided in two divisions. That's what the member schools voted on, okay? And he says, we simply do what the member schools do. And some people think that we have too many state basketball tournaments, too many classifications, which, you know, even Gary Musselman said that's probably true, but this is what our members want. They vote for it, so it's our job to try to implement it, put it together. We have to find multiple sites to host state tournaments. We've got to find officials, so forth and so on. And I'm like, that makes sense. You know, you're working for your member schools. Here's my question. I've talked to various administrators over the last couple weeks with these sub-state issues where you have Heston and Cheney, the number one and two teams in the state. Cheney was the number one team in the state, undefeated, had to play the defending state champions, Heston, who had one loss, and Heston won. And Cheney goes home. They're 22-1, number one team almost all year at state in the state rankings. They aren't at state. That's embarrassing. It's a joke. There's no way that should happen at sub-state. It happened to Beloit-Scott City boys years ago, number one and number two teams. And Scott City had to play at Beloit's home floor to make that even worse. And yet they did win by one. That should have been a state title game. It should not be in sub-state. These things have been going on for years. This isn't like, you know, Cheney fans start yelling and screaming about the horrible thing that is that they had to play Heston. Listen, you ain't the first time this happened. This has happened multiple times, and it's been years, and yet nothing gets changed. And it's up to the member schools to demand it. I'm going to tell you right now, all of you schools out there, you want a better system. You want better seating. You don't want to see a 4-18 team at state. You want to see the best of the best. If you're at Cheney and you don't like what you saw, and if you're Heston, you're like, dude, that ain't cool because we almost lost to them and we shouldn't have had to play them. You want to go through and talk TMP, Goodland, Phillipsburg Girls, three teams that should be at state, and two of them aren't because they're in the same sub-state. Phillipsburg Girls don't go to state with an outstanding product that would be tremendous to cover, and Taryn Sides, who's the leading scorer in the state, doesn't make it to state because of a loaded sub-state. Listen, all those people, all these teams could be at state. It's not that difficult. You reseed it. You split it east-west. You do it for 4A, 5A, and 6A. Let's do it for 3A, 2A. And you know what? Yeah, we can do it for 1A, too. And let's reseed it. And by the way, if you're all about travel, which is a bunch of hogwash, because Atwood-Rollins County had to go to Sylvan, sub-state, 198 miles one way, possibly three times. Did the girls stay in a hotel?
They stayed somewhere.
Thank
I think
God.
Russell probably.
Probably Russell or Hayes.
I think is what they told me. It was
right.
Russell.
So,
but not from Rollins County, but somebody else told me that.
Yeah. So you're already got in sub-state play where teams are going so many miles. Schools are not going to forfeit because, oh no, woe is me, I can't go that far. Yes, there's going to be some long road trips. There already are. Beloit had to go 160 miles to Council Grove in the first round. There's going to be long road trips. And the administrators and people I've talked to and learning through the grapevine, other people that are in the media that I've talked to over the last 72 hours have told me there isn't a lot of opposition from schools about travel anymore. Because they just know it, especially in 1A, because you have consolidations, you have teams merging together, and then all of a sudden that school isn't 20 miles from you, the next closest school is now 50 miles from you, or whatever it might be. So if you want to win state, you want to make it out of sub-state, you're willing to travel. You're not going to forfeit if you got to go 3 hours. Listen, Ulysses had to go all the way 1 year in football. Ulysses had to go to Parsons, if I remember right. I might not be exactly right with the schools, but I know Ulysses had to go a long, long way. And I talked to somebody that covered, I think it was Ulysses. They said that they had four 3 hour road trips one way in their football season. Why? Because there's not a lot of schools out that way. They're that size. So those schools, have they forfeited? Did Ulysses forfeit their games? No, they traveled. They don't like it necessarily, but they know that's part of the beast. Well, guess what? You make it part of the beast. You want the best teams at state, you reseed this sucker. And then you go ahead and break it in east, west, north, south, whatever best way it is, and let's get the best teams at state. Let's not have number one and number two playing each other in the sub-state finals. Let's not have three of the top 10 teams in the state in the same sub-state. Let's not have a sub-state where every single team has a losing record and you're guaranteed to have a bad team at state record-wise. These things can all be avoided. It's just a matter of people, apparently, as I told years ago, Keisha works for the member schools. All right, member schools, let's step up. Step up. Be heard. Work together. There's multiple proposals that are out there. There's a proposal at the 1A level. There's a proposal at the 2A and 3A level. All right. There's another proposal that's out there from the KIAA that may be directed to the Keisha Executive Board. Let's get these proposals out there. Let's go ahead and then decide on which proposal you think is best. Or here's an idea. Let's go ahead and present all the proposals. If there's 3, 4, 10, I don't care. All right. Go ahead, present them to all the member schools of whatever classification. All right. Present it to the member schools. Let them vote on which proposal they like the best. Then you've limited it down to one. You have one proposal. Now have a vote on that one proposal that everybody has voted on. The majority has said, okay, this is a proposal we like, which was voted on by the member schools. Keisha then can say, listen, folks, media people, if you don't like what's going on, the member schools decided on that proposal. And Dusty and I may say, well, that's a horrible proposal. And Keisha can say, well, shut up, Wade and Dusty. This is a proposal the member schools decided on going with. We allowed them to make that decision. And we got to live with that because that's the member schools. We're not in charge of everything, you and me. Of course not. So the member schools take ownership. That's what they did when they voted to split 1A into two divisions again. So now, if they want to reseed it, if they want to have a proposal, and they want to vote for that proposal and enact a proposal to make it to where we don't have a 1-18 team make it to state that ends up being 4-18. We don't have at the 2A and 3A level, number one and number two in the state playing each other in the sub-state finals, which should be a state championship game, then it's time to step up. Let's not just sit here and blame Keisha because, well, Keisha ain't doing their job. It is up to the member schools, according to what I've been told by Keisha, unless they're lying to me, that the member schools are the ones that can put the onus on Keisha. They're the ones that can say, listen, this is not cool. We want better state tournaments. This is too watered down, or this ain't fair that so many great teams are not going to state, but a 4-18 team is? What's wrong with this picture? It can be fixed. It's a matter of people demanding change. And that applies to anything in life. You can bitch and moan until your heart's content. But if you don't, if all you do is complain about it on Facebook and social media, but then when it comes down to nut bolt and cutting time and everything, and you got to try to figure out what really is going to happen, and you completely back off because you're scared to have your voice heard, well, then you're not helping the problem at all. You are part of the problem. So when you are an institution that have a chance to make some change, it's up to you to help kickstart that change. And maybe there's not enough people to support a proposal to change this, but I believe there is. And I think if Keisha would allow, like I said, multiple proposals to be voted on by member schools, figure out which one the member schools like the most. Okay. Let's say that 53% of the schools like proposal one, and there's proposal two and three out there. Okay, fine. Now let's open up to everybody to vote on proposal one. Or simply, if Keisha wants to come up with the one they think they can enact the best, okay, fine. They decide what the best proposal is. Then they present that proposal to the member schools and say, all right, let's vote on it. Let's see. Hey, that's what they did with COVID. I mean, we were voting every single time. Should we have fans? Should we have two fans per family? Four fans? I mean, we went through. Dear Lord, those meetings went on forever. And we kept going on about, well, I like this wording. I'm going to change this wording. We spent a ton of time doing all that. Why can't we figure it out when it comes to sub-state and state basketball? And honestly, you can go even further in regards to making sure that this is good for all sports, not just basketball. There's many other examples, yeah, I'm sure, that can be fixed too. But this is, I've got people telling me, listen, this is an indictment of what we have in the state of Kansas. The state of Kansas is behind neighboring states. They're behind other states in how they put together their state tournaments. They're behind the eight ball when it comes to, they're behind the curve when they limit kids to where they can't even go during buffer weeks, can't practice sports, or they're got to wait so long and other states don't. And it's time that Kansas moves into the 21st century, as one person told me over the weekend. And I agree with them. So if Keisha's not going to do it on their own, which they claim they won't because it's up to the member schools, then member schools, if you're listening, this is your turn. It's your time to step up and say, we want something different. Now, as to determining what is that something different, that's what the member schools have to work on and come up with something. But I think we can all say that the system has some major issues when a team that's 1-18 makes it to state, no fault of their own, goes to state with a 4-18 record, hosts the last two rounds of sub-state, and there's not a single team with a winning record in that sub-state. While you have other sub-states that have 3 or 4 teams with winning records and 3 winning teams are sitting at home while 4-18 Central Plains brags about how tough their schedule was.
Yeah, well, you know you're 4-18, so you're taking on the top seed at the state tournament. So I was like, well, your undefeated season against Division II is going to be over pretty fast because you're actually going to play a team. It's kind of what you want to respond to,
sure.
Right? Their other team that they played that was 1A Division II, by the way, was Otis Bison in the regular season, and they had 3 wins this year.
Yeah,
and so
it's misleading information,
yeah,
isn't it? They don't say how many games they played against Division II, and they don't say who they played.
And
that's called misinformation.
I have another thing I can say, but I don't want to put anybody else on blast here. So,
sure.
It is. There's issues, and that's what I talked about last week. I said when you decided to make that split. Case has said, you know, we're going to look at stuff, maybe we'll find a better system, and they never did. They didn't try to. I think they just did what they always have done, and they're leaving the onus up to the divisions, the schools, whoever.
To demand
I'm going to tell you right now, the best way to do this is to get 3-2 and 1A all together, because if
Agreed.
You just do 3 and 2A, there's going to be a lot of 1A schools that probably don't care,
mm-hmm.
that say, hey, We have a chance to make state in this system. Let's just leave it the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say if you want to do this, let's try to get all three of those classes together,
yeah.
and try to get it done, because that's more votes and more possibilities to have this go the right way. And, you know, obviously that's what we think is the right way,
sure.
right? Some schools probably don't think what our way is the right way. Who knows? I'm not in those
you know,
school board meetings, superintendents. I'm not talking to all those people. What I know is there are a lot of people that I talk to are frustrated about it.
Yes,
and
me too.
Think we need a different system as well. And if you're one of those teams that continues to have to play in a sub-state, I mean, Lakeside, Sylvan, and Osborne boys were all good enough to be state tournament teams this year. And they were all in the same sub-state. And so, you know, it's the way it falls. And you would hope that in the future you could change that a little bit and get that fixed. But you know, I saw that tweet on Saturday night, and I'm like, why are you trying to validate something you don't need to validate? You're
right.
There. I would just not even say
I wouldn't have said a word.
Because now you're bringing up a situation where, like you said, you're not putting out the right information about it. You're misleading people by saying you won every 1A division. Well, the most games anybody's ever won this year is 9 on the floor. You know, the 10 technically for center, but one of those is a bye.
Right.
And so you're not playing a 1A division, like you just said, you're not playing a 1A division 2 schedule, so you're going to brag about beating teams with 3, 4, 5, and 9 wins. Like, and again, you played a tough schedule, so it prepared you for those kind of games,
right.
For sure, to be able to win those and win them comfortably. But again,
let's be honest,
find
if
out
they
how
played
good
an average schedule, they still would have won that sub-state. They didn't have to play a tough schedule
No, but I mean, they were prepared to win that sub-state.
Sure. Right.
Because the teams they played actually are better than most of the teams that were in their sub-state.
this is why you got to be careful what you read when people put stuff out there and try to spin. And that was the ultimate spin. And that's my biggest and really only contention with Central Plains, is to somehow try to validate going to state with a 4-18 record against wins against a 3-win team, a 4-win team, and a team that was 8-10 that was the one seed that got a first round bye. I'd be embarrassed if I would have ever.
Well,
put that
I was
going to
say when you said that earlier about that you'd be embarrassed. I've actually there was an area coach that I talked to probably about 6-7 years ago, and his team had made it to the sub-state championship with like a 6-15 record or something like that, and he's like, I'm paraphrasing. I don't know if he actually used the word embarrassed, but he said, I'm embarrassed about this because it just takes away – what it does is it takes away from one of the teams I had, you know, turn of the century here that went 20-2 and lost in a regional championship or in a sub-state championship game,
right.
And didn't make it to state.
Right.
And, you know, it's like it takes away from an actual team that I had that had a great record, a great season, that was probably the best team I had.
Mm-hmm.
That this team that's 6-16 or 17 or whatever gets to the same spot.
Same level, right. This is what I would do for any school administrator out there in 1A or 2A or 3A, whatever it might be, okay? This is, you know, Central Plains is the poster child example, as I've been saying for 72 hours now. Another great example is the 3A boys with Cheney number 1 versus Heston number 2 in the sub-state finals. That should never happen in the sub-state finals. But it has multiple times, and nobody's done enough to change it. And so here's what I would ask for anybody that's sitting here listening today and going, well, you're making a big deal about it. You know, everybody still has a chance to make state. And that's technically true. You can be a loaded sub-state, but if you win all your sub-state games, you go to state. That's true. But the thing is, you should be rewarded as a really good team for your body of work, like you are in college basketball, where you get a number one seed. You know, now imagine this for a second, just to put this in a little bit of perspective. Imagine the K-State men's basketball team is allowed to participate in the NCAA tournament, and they go to a region that has all losing teams, while Kansas goes into a region with Duke, Kentucky, and Gonzaga. Do you think that's right? Of course it's not right.
No.
That would be the equivalent. And the other thing, too, is anybody that doesn't think this is a big deal, okay, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But anybody that's a school administrator in Class 1A, all right, and I'm pointing out 1A because Central Plains is the poster child example. If you go and talk to every single one of the people that make the official vote for your school, I don't know if it's a principal, the athletic director, superintendent, whatever, and I would have one question for every single one. It'd be the same question for every single one of them. Don't you think there is a problem when a team that's 1-18 goes to state? And I would be, I mean, if you answer with the no, there's not a problem, then I would say right now, you're lying. Because anybody with a brain knows that nobody should be going to state with a 1-18 record, or, okay, technically 4-18. Or, you know, so people have to know this is an issue. And maybe it's going to take this thing, this horrible, I mean, this bad of a substate with a team that had one win all year long that ends up winning 3 and 4 days going to state. And listen, I'm not trying I want to make this clear. Central Plains boys, I have nothing against these kids. I'm sure they're great kids, and they're going to state. They get an opportunity that they shouldn't have. And a whole bunch of teams like Lakeside and others, and I know they're Division I and Central Plains Division II, but I'll give you an example. Lakeside, Sylvan, Lucas boys, whatever. And there's many other examples in 1A that didn't get to state and had a much better record, a much better year. Got to sit here and looking and going, why is Central Plains in this tournament? And so guess what a lot of people are doing right now? They're cheering against Central Plains. And that's not fair to Central Plains because they didn't deserve this. They're not the ones that were assigned to where they were. But there are people, and I ain't going to lie to you, it's crossed my mind. Hanover beat them by 70, and make a real big example out of this. Because, and I'm not saying I want Hanover win by 70, but if you really, really want to bring this to attention to people even more so, is have this game end up being 84-12. You don't think that'll get people's attention? And granted, we've had some big blowouts when they've gone 1A division, 1 and 2 splits. We've seen it. St. John's Tipton boys had a game where they won by, 35 or 40 in the first round or the semis of state?
First round was a bigger one when they and it was actually against Sylvan Lucas that one.
Right.
Year, you know, and because Sylvan, you know, had a similar situation. They had a sub-state where they knew they could, hey, we might be able to win this and make it to state. And credit them, they did it, right?
They did.
You know, they won the sub-state that was ahead of them, and that's what Central Plains has done.
Exactly.
You credit them for winning the sub-state because that's what they were handed.
But unfortunately for them, no fault of their own, they're going to get some people saying, you know what, I want to see that team make an example to where we get this change, that they absolutely get annihilated.
Yeah.
And that's not fair to those kids at Central Plains, but at the same time, they were put in that position. They earned their spot to state based on the sub-state they were put in. But there's got to be a lot of 1A teams, especially 1A Division II boys, that got to be sitting here and going, this is ridiculous. I don't know. If this isn't the wake-up call, I don't know what ever will be.
This is as
bad as you can get, except the only way it could be worse is if Central Plains hadn't won a game, and then they won 3 and be 3-19 at state. That's the only – because you have to have 3 wins. If you're winless or one, you would be the bottom seed. You're going to play 3 games in sub-state in 1A. You're not going to get a bye. So, you know, the only way this could be a worse record would be if they were winless going in the sub-state.
Yeah.
This is as bad as it gets.
That's the only way it can be worse on the boys' side there in basketball. But listen, the example that I've always used, because you brought up earlier that it's not just a basketball thing, right? It's every 1A sport that is a team sport that is in this, or even 2A, 3A, whatever it is, however you place these people on a bracket and in a sub-state. And so we said right away, and 2010 was the first year that they had the initial split. They've gone back 2 years. They went back to full 1A class, but they went back to the split now. So
member schools voted.
2010, the member schools voted, and probably, you know, the spring before that, whenever it was, to split this into two classes. And we said right away, this will water things down. It'll change sub-states. You'll have bad sub-states. You'll have bad teams at state. And the biggest example I use is the second year that they did this in state volleyball, Altoona Midway out of Buffalo, Kansas, was 2-31 going into their sub-state. And they won three matches at their sub-state and went to state in volleyball with a record of 5-31 and got annihilated at state. That's the part of it that I think is just as bad of making this making to state is have the euphoria and joy of making it to state, but now you've got to go get just blitzed at state, right? Like, everybody knew that Altoona Midway was not going to do anything at state. They had one set where they got double-digit points, because I looked it up here. And I'm like, they were losing like 25-7-4 in their first match. Mm-hmm. You know, they were just getting blown away. And, yeah, hey, cool, we can say we made it to state, but now you finished 5-34, and we're a state team.
And I guarantee you that year you had teams that won 25 to 30 matches or more that never made it to state that year, and a team with five did, and that's completely the indictment of the system.
And that's why I always remember that, sure, is because St. John's Tipton always had 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 or 5 losses in volleyball, and they'd always have to go east to play Frankfurt
Hanover,
whoever it was.
Right.
You know, at that point it was Frankfurt,
right,
because Chelsea Keating was playing, and everybody remembers that.
Yeah.
And even the next year when she had graduated, they had to go to Frankfurt, and Frankfurt had a glossy schedule, not a glossy record, but was battle-tested.
Right.
But you look at this, and like you think like St. John's Tipton had years where they had two losses and didn't make it to state.
This team has two wins
going into sub-state and makes it to state.
That should have been a wake-up call there,
yeah,
too.
I mean, right away, it's right there for you. Look at it and understand, right, this is not the right system.
Right.
If you wanted to split, fine, but fix this system.
And that's why I don't have a lot of faith it's going to get fixed.
I know.
Because it's been, that's what I'm trying to, I've
that
been
was 11
saying,
years ago.
This has been happening for a long, long time, a very long time. And I, once again, I'm going to challenge the member schools. Spread the word. If you don't like teams that are 4-18 making state, if you don't like the number one and number two teams playing each other in a sub-state final when they should be playing the state championship or at least in the state tournament, then you need to have your voices heard. And just throwing it on your personal Facebook page, you know, where only your friends see it, or just throwing something on Twitter is not going to do it. You're going to have to rally the troops. You got to talk to your other administrators, your other schools, your member schools, your league schools, whatever, maybe league by league, and then unify and say, listen, let's get this changed. This is not right. And it's not. And it hasn't been for years. And yet nothing has really, really changed. It really hasn't.
No.
And that's why I don't have a lot of faith it's going to. But in order to enact change, you have to have people that are willing to fight for change. And I hear a lot of people that I've talked to that really seem to be upset about it. But now we're going to find out if they really, truly just are a whole bunch of, you know, people that like to squawk that are all talk. You heard the saying, talk the talk. Yeah, that's great. Let's walk the walk. And I think it's time, if member schools really feel so upset about it, according to some they do, then it's time for you guys to quit talking. It's time for you guys to actually walk the walk and make it happen. Put it together. Get people on board. Come up with a proposal. Get it voted on. Demand there's a vote on it, which I don't think that'd be that hard to get that to happen. Vote on it and say, this is what we're gonna rally behind. And it might not be the greatest system in the world, but it's still going to be a heck of a lot better than what we got. You know, college football eventually evolved into, they believe, a better system. Okay, and then eventually they might get to an expanded playoff in football. You know, NCAA tournaments tweaked their stuff. There didn't always used to be 68 teams in NCAA tournament or 64. You have to adapt with the times and change. And that's something that the state of Kansas is behind. There is no doubt. One of the things I've heard by many people here recently is that we are behind. We are behind Nebraska. We're behind Missouri. We're behind Colorado. We're behind Oklahoma. We're behind Texas. And it is still somewhat embarrassing to me. Last I knew, that Kansas has as many classifications for state championships as Texas. Texas is way bigger than Kansas. We probably shouldn't have as many classes as we do. But if that's what the member schools want, I can live with it.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and fix the system so that if we're going to have this many classes, let's at least have, how many we got? 7 state basketball tournaments?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we're going to have 7 classifications for basketball, since we're talking basketball season, let's have 7 kick-ass state tournaments. Not 12-10 Pawnee Heights, 13-10 Waverly, and 4-18 Central Plains, all in the same bracket. Sorry, that's not a state bona fide tournament. Now, there are other brackets that have great records. We talked about it. 1A Division 1 actually is pretty doggone good.
Jeff Starkey the other night about that. He's like, these are going to be some pretty good state tournaments. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. They are. It's like, this is going to be tough for anybody to come out and win a state title there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, anyway, I did look at it. If you would have put 1A Division 1 and 2 together based on who made it to state, and you dump the teams with the bad losses, which you dump Waverly, Pawnee Heights, they have 10 losses, dump Central Plains, and you put in the three best teams that didn't make it in D1, everybody would have two losses or less.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a kick-ass state tournament right there. But instead, we've got it watered down, which I know some schools are okay with it because they say that only way I can make state is in a watered-down format. And I get it. I do. There are schools that have no doubt, even some in our own backyard, that have benefited by having it split in two divisions. Mm-hmm. I do, and I get it. Enrollment-wise and this, we can't compete against the top 1A team when we're one of the lowest 1A enrollments. That's true. I get it. Same thing happens in other classifications, too. This is not just a 1A thing. It happens in 2A, and it happens in 3A, 4A, 5A, and 6A, and whatever else. So I get that part. But let's go ahead then. If we're going to accept it, if we're going to accept it and say, okay, there's two divisions and the member schools are going to stick with it, well, then let's work on fixing the system to make it to where we get the best teams at state. Because last I checked, I thought that's the point of state tournament. I must be confused. I thought the goal was to get the eight best teams in each classification to the state tournament. That's the goal. That's what I thought. And perhaps I misunderstood. Okay, KU beats Texas. Well, by the way, our broadcast schedule posted. We'll go over it tomorrow more so. But the broadcast schedule for Osmond girls, boys, Smith Center girls, St. John's Tipton girls, we're going to have them all on the radio. They're all going to be on KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com. If you can't make it to games, get the free KD Country 94 app on your smartphones as well. And it's all posted, our broadcast schedule, NCKSSports.com. Anything else you want to add before we move on to college?
Nope, I think we covered it.
All right. Kansas, they win, and they get a share of the Big 12 title.
Looking for help. Lobs back to Christian Brown.
Gotta go.
Now trap comes on him. He's in trouble. No timeout. Lobs it ahead. Harris saves it. Ahead to Ochai. Ochai to David. He dunked it. He dunked it indeed. Ask and you shall receive. Big Dave gives Kansas the big dunk. Jones's three misses. Rebound, Christian Brown. He dribbles it up in the air. The last 2 seconds drip off the clock. And for an astounding 20th time in the 26-year history of the league, your Jayhawks are Big 12 champions. You can lock, chalk it up. Conference championship number 63 as Kansas prevails in overtime 70-63.
We won, so let's not apologize for winning. Never got into any rhythm at all. Ochai labored. We didn't run good offense. They switched everything and kept us from running our stuff, and then they denied, and we couldn't get our shoulders past them, and so it was ugly. But we won it defensively. We won it rebounding. We were much more competitive on that end, and guys hung in there in overtime, and, you know, David made all his free throws, and it was a great win.
Ochai struggled. KU found a way to win in overtime over Texas. KU's now won the Big 12 title 16 of the last 18 seasons in regards to conference championships, and it's the 39th consecutive win on senior day or senior night, but they barely got that one done on Saturday and finished up 4 games in 8 days. Sixth-ranked Jayhawks knock off 21st-ranked Texas 70-63 in overtime, and they get a share of the Big 12 title. David McCormick did come through at the foul line in particular. Missed a lot of bunnies again. But he was able to hit some free throws, as Coach Self alluded to, and KU did just enough to win. It wasn't pretty, but it is another Big 12 championship for KU. K-State, meanwhile, they lose again. What is that, 5 in a row to end the season for
five
K-State?
5 in a row.
Just remember, when their backs are against the wall, they really come out and play well. Yeah. K-State loses Oklahoma 78-71. 50-year seniors Mark Smith, Mike McGurl combined for 43 points. But K-State's defense, another issue. They're 14-16 overall, 6-12 in the Big 12 is how they end it. And then they'll go into the Big 12 tournament. We'll tell you more about that in a moment. Here's Bruce Weber on his seniors and the lack of defense this year.
I applaud those two guys. Those two wanted to win, and they gave it their all. You know, obviously, great stat line for both. You know, but it's still, they talked about it, our defense. I showed our guys the last five games. The stats in the league were one of the worst, and if not the worst, in almost every category. And I'm not sure where it slipped. You know, it has. And then, you know, tonight, you know, is it our defense that bad, or is it, you know, Gibson just stepping up and making the shots and the plays? It just never seemed like we could get control of the game.
K-State loses Oklahoma 78-71. Only way to make the NCAA tournament is to win the Big 12 tournament. They'll be in a play-in game against West Virginia on Wednesday. Baylor beat Iowa State 75-68, so Baylor gets a share of the title with Kansas. Oklahoma State beat Texas Tech 52-51. Oklahoma State ends their season with a big win over a ranked team. Texas Tech had KU and Baylor lost. Texas Tech could have had a share of the title, but instead they lost. That knocked them out, and then KU Baylor won anyway. West Virginia beat TCU. That figures. TCU gets the big wins, and then, of course, that was at home against Tech and KU, and then they go on the road. Of course, they lost at KU, and then they lose at West Virginia, but they're still an NCAA tournament team.
You go to Lawrence, and then you got to go to Morgantown. I mean, that's not easy. Not a good way you want to finish your season in 2 days.
No, travel-wise, no, not good at all. The Big 12 Conference Tournament, here's the matchups. K-State and West Virginia will play on Wednesday night. Winner of that game, K-State the 8 seed, West Virginia 9. Winner will get number 1 seed Kansas coming up on Thursday at 2 o'clock. Pregame around 1:30 on Z96.3 at the Lake. Baylor and Oklahoma is another quarterfinal on Thursday. And Baylor the 2, OU the 7. And Texas Tech the 3, Iowa State the 6. Tech and Baylor can meet in the semis. Tech's beaten Baylor both times this year. Keep that in mind. Kansas could play Texas again in the semis, or TCU a third time in the span of 2 weeks. Either way, it's going to be a team they just played. Mm-hmm. As Texas, the 4 seed, playing TCU, the 5 seed. That's at T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. That's the Big 12 men's tournament bracket. And once again, KU on the radio on Z on Thursday. The all Big 12 teams have come out. Is this the AP? Yeah, it is the AP, I believe.
Coaches.
Or this is coaches?
Coaches, the one that the Big 12 released last night anyway. That's always the coaches that come
this
out.
This is the coaches. Yeah. All right. The coaches, the player of the year is Ochai Agbaji. For Kansas, newcomer year is Isaiah Brockington, Iowa State. Coach of the year is Scott Drew of Baylor. I would have picked Mark Adams of Texas Tech myself, but okay. Most improved player, Nigel Pack of K-State. And the first teamers, Kenjo of Baylor, Brockington, Iowa State, Agbaji of Kansas. Nigel Pack of K-State's a first-team Big 12 selection as a sophomore. That's fantastic and well-deserved. Bryson Williams, Texas Tech, rounds out the first team. Second team all Big 12, Adam Flagler of Baylor, Christian Brown of KU, Mike Miles of TCU, Timmy Allen of Texas, Taz Sherman of West Virginia. And the third team, David McCormick and Jalen Wilson of Kansas. Mark Smith of K-State makes third team. Avery Anderson, Oklahoma State, and Marcus Carr of Texas. Honorable mention include KU's DeJuan Harris and K-State's Marquise Noel. And in regards to the all Big 12 defensive team, Marquise Noel and DeJuan Harris make that. And the newcomer team, Mark Smith of K-State, and the all-Big 12 freshman team, K.J. Adams of Kansas, on that list. And all that's posted at Big12Sports.com.
I was thinking, one of my KU buddies is like, man, there must not be very many freshmen in the conference this year. K.J. Adams at 1.2 points a game or whatever makes the...
That was my thought as well. That was my thought as well, totally. Big 12 women's tournament's going to be going this week as well. That's in Kansas City at Municipal Auditorium. As KU State and KU got wins, KU against Oklahoma and K-State against TCU. So here is the bracket. Texas 8 seed, Oklahoma State the 9. Winner of that gets number 1 seed Baylor. West Virginia TCU play on Thursday in Kansas City. Winner of that gets Iowa State. K-State is the number 6 seed. They will play Texas on Friday. And KU is the 5 seed, and they'll play Oklahoma, who they just beat. So a rematch right away, and that will be the quarterfinal matchup. KU, the 5 seed, Oklahoma, the 4 seed in the Women's Big 12 Basketball Tournament in KC. Also, the Wichita State Shockers will be the 7 seed in the American Athletic Conference Tournament. They will take on Tulsa coming up on March the 10th, which would be on Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on ESPNU. The Shockers did get a win over East Carolina, 70-62. Shockers now 15-12, finished 6-9 in the AAC. And the Shockers trying to build a little momentum. And, of course, they got to win the tournament in order for them to make the big dance as well. It's been a tough year for Wichita State and Isaac Brown. Anything else you want to add on college basketball?
No. college basketball is depressing for me. So
as a K-State fan.
I always say I'm one of those guys that never wants his team to lose, but I'm almost to the point where, like, Huggy, just put us out of our
just
misery.
Just finish it off, huh?
Yeah.
And so much about that, we're going to add a game to try to help our NIT stuff. It suddenly went down the drain.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about that because they didn't do any good anymore now. And finally, Major League Baseball's lockout is going to continue for a while, I'm afraid. Owners claim the unions moved backwards on a proposal, so the owners are saying the players have not really stepped forward. Owners haven't really stepped forward either, let's be quite honest with you. So, anyway, no baseball and probably more games that are going to be canceled. Carl Ravitch is an interesting tweet he put out there.
I
thought that was very interesting. I haven't seen anybody say anything about that, but he did. And he's one of the top baseball men for ESPN, host of Baseball Tonight. And he put out there, he goes, there's a real chance that the whole season will be eliminated. That's what he put out there, which I didn't think we'd go quite that far, but who knows? So I'll have to live without baseball if that's the case. And finally, let's go back to high school because I didn't finish it up. The matchups in 1A Division I boys, Hanover Central Plains, Buckland Caldwell, Greeley County, Pawnee Heights, Northern Valley, and Waverly. The girls bracket, we mentioned St. John's Tipton and Central Plains will be a first-round matchup. And Lebo, Hanover, South Haven, Hunter Central Christian, and Rexford Golden Plains, number one, against Buckland, the eight. And then 1A Division I, the Osborne girls, the 4 seed at 22-1 against Pretty Perry, the 5 seed. The winner of that will play the winner of Hodgman County, who's 23-0 against Clifton Clyde, who's 16-8. Centralia undefeated, the 2 seed against Spiritville and Little River at 22-1 is the 3 seed. And Burlingame with a 20-2 record is a 6 seed in 1A Division I girls. That's a real state tournament right there. 1A Division I boys state tournament. Opie, the 1 seed against Troy, the 8 seed. Troy has 7 losses. Osborne, the 4 against Maxville, the 5. They're both 21-2. Norwich, 22-1 against Solomon, 16-7. Solomon, did you see how they won? They were down 5 with 20 seconds to go and didn't have the ball at Clifton Clyde. And their stud made a couple steals, a couple three-point plays, and got another steal and a layup. They scored 8 points in 20 seconds and won without going overtime, 53-50. What a heartbreaker, Clifton Clyde, on their home floor on top of that. Now, the good news is their girls qualified later, but the boys, they had it and they lost it. Solomon making their first state boys appearance since 1918, the Solomon Gorilla Boys. That's pretty crazy. And they will play Norwich, and South Gray is a 3 seed against Ness City, 8 seed. And then in 2A girls, I'll go over this one for you. Smith Center, as I mentioned, the 6 seed against Jackson Heights, a 3 seed. Garden Plains, a 7 versus Pittsburgh Colgan, the 2, is undefeated. Sterling, undefeated, number 1 team in the state. Number 1 seed against Mission Valley, who has 8 losses. And Berean Academy, 22-1, the 4 against Valley Heights, the 5 at 21-2. That's a very solid state tournament there as well. I'll let you look up 2A boys, ladies and gentlemen, when you want to. 3A girls, I'll include this only because Southeast Saline is competing in that. And Southeast Saline, I think, got a very, very, very tough draw. They're a team that has no size, and they're going up against Goodland with 4 girls, 5'10 or taller, and are athletic. I think it's a horrible matchup for Southeast. And Goodland is the 4 seed, Southeast to 5. Southeast, first time to state since 2016. They'll play at 4 o'clock. Silver Lake, the 1 seed against Cherryvale. Nickerson, the 2 against Frontenac. And Hugoton, the 3 seed against Santa Fe Trail. And the 3A boys, Southeast Saline boys, are in it as a number 4 seed. They'll take on Osage City on Wednesday in Hutchinson at 4 o'clock. Both teams 20-3. Royal Valley 22-1, the 1 against the 8 seed. Girard only has 5 losses as an 8. Hugoton, the 7 seed, will take on Heston, the defending champs, who's 22-1. And TMP at state again. TMP boys will take on Galena. TMP 19-4. Galena, 3 seed at 22-1. All that available to you at nckrsports.com. Just remember, folks, I don't know if this is my motto, but I don't think any team that's 4-18 should be at state.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.